What's up, everybody? Here's to another Bible study. In today's Bible study, I'm going to be talking about coming back to Christ. And it's a big thing for me personally, just because, for example, like my job, like my eyes get taken off of what Christ has for me and his will for my life. And I know I'm not the only one that's struggling with that. A lot of times we take our eyes off the kingdom of God. But before I continue on the rant of that, I'm going to stop. I'm going to pray like usual, and then we're going to get started. So, thank you so much, Lord. Thank you for everything you do for us. Thank you for this life that you've provided us, God. I know at times we tend to seek what we want out of this life. We tend to seek things that are our own desires, our own ambitions, our own will. But God, I pray this prayer right now that everybody who's watching this or listening to this, God, that you just remind us exactly why we are here, what the mission is for our lives, and the will that you've made for us, God. And I pray all this in your great and holy name. Amen. So like I said, in today's Bible study, we're going to be talking about coming back to Christ. Now, I'm going to be speaking pretty fast because I've got a lot to cover, and I want to make sure I get it all in there. So I got a few verses. I've had a lot more verses that I wanted to use, but I'm only going to use a few. So the first verse I want to be using today is Proverbs 37:9, and it is one of my favorite verses that's in the Bible. Love them all, but this is one of my favorite. And it goes like this: Two things I ask of you, deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, Who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Don't give me too much, or I'm going to lose sight. And don't give me not enough, because then I'm going to begin to hate you. And love that. That's literally how our life is, you know? We tend to get wrapped up into this life. And yes, we are living in this world, but we're not supposed to live of this world. And we're supposed to have a balance of spirituality with Christ and also our own life and our own will that we are provided. Because yes, God created us to enjoy this life, but that also means we have to stay focused of what God wants us to do, right? And in my life, I work a lot of hours and I love what I do, but at the same time, it does sometimes take my eyes off of what I'm supposed to be doing. And I have this veil that's over my face sometimes, and then I have to remind myself, or God has to correct me in my walk to say, "Hey, Ethan, you're kind of going a little bit too far. Let's come back. Let's remember what you're here for. Let's dive into the word. Let's knit into us our hearts what the word says, and let's do my will, Ethan, not your own." Sometimes we forget that. And it's not a bad thing to enjoy this life, to get busy, basically, to have a job. It's a blessing to have a job. But at the same time, don't allow that job or that hobby or whatever to take first place in what you want in this life, or take first place in what you are kind of following in a way, because anything can become an idol, and we have to really watch and be mindful of what that is. So love that verse. Don't give me too much, but don't give me enough. Love it, love it, love it. The next one, I'm not going to read this all the way, but it's the prodigal son. Everybody should know the story of the prodigal son. If you don't, it kind of goes like this. I'm going to be very quick. There is a son who didn't want to wait on his, basically his father to die to get what he was promised, basically the land or the money, whatever the case may be. And so he was like, "Yo, dad, give me your stuff now. I want to go experience this life." So the father was like, "Okay, awesome. I'm going to give this to you. Is this sure you what you want to do?" Son was like, "Yes." The son took the money, went and lived his life. For however long he was gone, he partied. He had tons of basically partners in a way. He did drugs, alcohol, all the good sin stuff, you know. And then he lost it all. And then he found himself in a pigsty, looking at what the pigs were eating. Like, man, you know, the servants of my father live and eat better than this. Let me just go be a servant of my father. So he got up, he left, and he went back to basically his homestead. And then as he's walking there, he's okay, what this is what I'm going to say to my dad, and this is what I'm going to do. And he kept repeating it, I'm assuming, over and over and over, like we always do. And then he met his father. His father ran to him, hugged him, loved him, and said, oh, put this on. You are not going to be a servant. You are going to be my son. And his father rejoiced. So that's kind of a overview of it. And that's a great representation. Us as human beings, we want to take what we have and then go and run with it. And then we lose sight of what we had, which is our father. Our father never leaves. He's always going to be there and love us no matter what we do, right? But at the same time, it sometimes takes us to fall on our face to return back to Christ and to return back to what we were supposed to do in the beginning. And sometimes there's the will of the Father, and we go down this path and we kind of get off the path a little bit because we want to do what we're doing. And then God brings us slowly back to that path. It might take longer, but we're going to return. So always remember, no matter what you're providing in this life, always return back to Christ for one, to be thankful, but for two, to keep your eyes on the kingdom of God and to do what he wants you to do, which is his will. And whatever that case may be, we're all anointed, we all have our own calling in this life, and it's to us to do that calling. But what it takes is diving in the word, but also following what Christ wants you to do and keeping your eyes on him, not of this world. The next one's going to be Acts 3, verses 19 and 20. And it says, repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ anointed for you. Repent. If you're falling on your face, basically, over and over and over again on sin, repent. Come back to Christ. The enemy wants to get inside of your head and make you feel like you're not good enough to come to Christ. And the funny thing is, we're not. But he died on the cross for us to return to him. So don't listen to the enemy when he tells you that, oh my gosh, I'm sinning too much. Why am I going to pray, or why am I going to read my word? I just did this, so why am I going to do it? No, do it anyway. Go back and follow him and read the word and rejoice and be in prayer and allow God to mold your heart and mold you as an individual to then take away those sins that it's talking about. Sins may be blotted out, so God can take those sins out of your life, where then you can keep your eyes on the kingdom of God, right? And that's exactly what we're supposed to do. Return to him, even in the midst of rejoicing, even in the midst of sin, return back to him. No matter what you're doing, always come back to him. Never lose sight of why you're actually here, because there's a mission. This life is very short compared to eternity, either with him or without him. Excuse me. And it's up to us to remind ourselves, like, oh man, hey, I'm kind of going a little bit too far. Let me come back. Or, oh man, I'm kind of slipping into this sin more repetitively than I used to. Let me hone that back in and let me go to what the word says. And the next one is Isaiah 55, verses 6 and 7. Seek the Lord. Always seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. And I'm going to read verse 8 because I like it. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. That just goes to show right there, verses 6 through 7 and even 8. You can never go too far to always come back to Christ. The prodigal son story lays it out beautifully for you. You are never too far to return to Christ. And a lot of times people, again, think this way, like, man, I am just way, way, way too far. I there's no way God's going to accept me to come back. But the prodigal son clearly states, it does not matter how far you weigh geography-wise, how far you are away in sin, how far you are in money or whatever the case may be, you can always return back to Christ. He will restore you, give you a new life, give you a new vision for what you're supposed to be doing, and restore the time that you lost because you carelessly went off and did your own thing without resorting to come back to Christ and ask God, is this what you want in my life? Is this what you desire of my life? Am I doing what you want me to do? Am I being a good and faithful servant? Because whenever you said, God, I believe in you, I know you're the Lord. I know you died for my sins. The moment you said that, you just gave your life to Christ. And now it is up to you to follow it or not. And again, we can never go too far. We can never stray away too far to the point to where God's like, nah. But, you know, there also comes in blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And that's literally just saying you're forgetting who God is. You don't care what God is, and you're never going to repent for what you did. That's what that means. But if you truthfully do seek Christ, it does not matter how far you are, because you will come back. God's always pursuing us. No matter how far we are, God's always there with us. It just takes us to literally turn and look at him, or look up to the sky, basically, to the kingdom of God, however you want to look at it. I have a little of an analogy. I've been doing a Bible study recently in James, and this analogy came to me, and I call it the playground analogy. And I'm going to try my best to make it quick. So the playground analogy is this. As a parent, you take your kid to the playground. Your kid's amazed by what's in front of it, him or her. But your kid's amazed by the playground, and there's so much stuff to do. There's so many places to go, to run, to jump, to swing on the monkey bars or swing on the swings, to go down the slide. There's so much, right? And your parent brought you to this, to have that. And so you look at your parent, and you're like, can I do this? Am I able to go? And your parent's like, yeah, go. But remember, I'm right here. Don't go too far. I'm right here. Okay? And then you run and you look back at your parent a couple of times. Like, are you sure? And your parent's like, yes, go. Have fun. I'm right here if you need me. And the kid runs and runs up the steps and then slides down the slide. And look at what I'm doing. I'm sliding down the slide. Oh my gosh. And your parent's cheering you on. And you go on the monkey bars. And again, your parent's cheering you on. And then, however long time it goes by, and as a child, your span of what you're doing, you tend to get really, really locked in, and you forget what else was going on. So you get so wrapped in at the playground that you forget that your parent's there, and eventually you stop checking in. You stop looking at your parent, and you're having fun. And let's say a couple hours go by, and the sun starts setting, and your parent's like, okay, come on, it's time to go. And you're too busy doing what you're doing. You can't hear your parents saying, come on, it's time to come up. It's time to go. We got to go home. And you can't hear him or her because you're too wrapped up in playing on the playground. And your parent starts coming to you and say, hey, come on. And then you kind of hear it, but you ignore it because you still want to have fun. And you don't want to leave. And your parent, hey, we need to go. It's time to come. It's time to go home. I've been told you 50 million times it's time to go home. And then it dawns on you, oh, I was only supposed to do this for a short period, not get wrapped up into it. And then you grab your hold of your parents' hand, and they walk you to the car, and you go home. That right there is exactly how we are in human beings in our spiritual walk with Christ. God gave us this whole life to enjoy. This whole land is ours, to do with it what we will. But at the same time, there is a will of the Father, and we need to follow that. And we can't get too wrapped up in our job and our hobbies, and our day is off when we just want to sit there and watch TV, whatever the case may be. We cannot allow it to deter us, basically, and distract us from what God has for us. And we can't go too far to the point to where we can't hear the Father's voice, because his voice is small and still, and we have to really pay attention to what he's saying for us. And he's going to continue to pursue us and say, come on, we got to go. And it's up to us to continue to check in with God, to continue to come back to God, like we do as a kid with our parent on the playground. And that's basically the playground analogy. And it's up to us to keep our eyes on the kingdom of God and to do the will of God above your own desires. And that's kind of hard sometimes. And allow the word to be knitted into your heart so then it can come out of you. And all you do is show light, and you are a living example of what Christ is supposed to be like. And so with all that being said, and I'm going to go ahead and cut it for the day, with all that being said, that's exactly how we're supposed to live our life, is to follow him, continue to check in, make sure what we're doing is what we're supposed to be doing. Continue to pray and say, God, is this what you want in my life? Am I doing the right thing? Am I going down the right path? And don't go too far to the extent to where you get so wrapped up in your job, your hobbies, that you become distracted and you forget to listen to what God's got to say for you. That's basically it for today. I hope you guys enjoyed. I'm getting back into it. I know it's been a while, but I really hope you learned a thing or two, like I'm hoping I learned a thing or two with this. And as always, if you're watching this on YouTube, please like and subscribe. And if you're listening to this on Spotify, do the same thing. And if you have any questions, I have an email, or you can comment down below if you are watching on YouTube. Until next time, thank you so much for listening, and I hope to see you in the next video or podcast.